Yeah, that's true. I actually think the executive branch of our federal government is the most interesting tech startup I've seen this year. And, you know, I've been in the software and the tech industry for over a decade, having helped start a startup myself and worked with a lot of people that have made a lot of interesting companies. And, you know, you start to recognize the traits of what makes something compelling from a tech standpoint.
So talk about what are those traits, because you talk about it a little bit in your post. What are the traits that make an interesting startup, and is this something that the federal government should strive for?
Yeah, I think there's a couple points. One is just something interesting and compelling as a product in the first place, which in this case, I look at sites like data.gov, recovery.gov, usaspending.gov, and being really, really useful tools that anybody can kind of immediately go up to in their web browser and get some value out. But on top of that, there's something for programmers, coders, developers to build on top of as well. They can take those raw materials and make new applications with them, make new tools with them. That combination of being something that is attractive at first glance and then has a deeper value to it when you want to build on top of it, that's a really, really compelling combination.
As startups are sort of, having been from a family that's done a couple of them, they can be a little bit uncomfortable places because there can be a lot happening at once, and almost it's difficult to get a clear direction, that's not the right word, but, you know, in fact, usually the direction is very focused, but sometimes everyone's working on things, so it can be a little bit of a management nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I think the startup environment is a little bit of controlled chaos, and it takes a firm hand, it takes a clear sense of purpose and a clear goal that's defined. But I think this is the area where, you know, people that have decided to join the federal government probably already have that inclination. They know there are a pretty clear set of goals and missions for, you know, this administration. I think there actually is a clarity of purpose that is not true in the private sector, because you explicitly have a platform of what you're trying to do. You have an agenda that's been articulated publicly. You know, the tradition in Silicon Valley is to keep your startup secret until the very last minute before you go out there. They have the advantage of literally years of campaigning and, you know, months and months of being in office to articulate exactly what vision they're supposed to follow.
So what is it that launched the executive branch into this direction? I mean, we've all heard the stories about how, you know, in some parts of the White House and in some parts of the executive branch, they didn't have computers, or if they did, they didn't have internet access, or if they did, it was, you know, just this side of dial-up, you know, and now all of a sudden they're being considered, as you so rightly put it, the most interesting new tech startup of 2009. So what happened?
Well, I think, you know, to be clear, it is a little bit uneven. I'm sure there are still people struggling with getting access, having the right tools, having the right technology. And so it's not this sea change where everything is better all of a sudden. It's just that the projects where the people have had the right resources and the right access and have kind of been given free rein to go full tilt towards what they're trying to achieve, they've been able to pull off some amazing results. And I see an analogy to what we know in the tech world of Microsoft, where people have been wondering, you know, where is this giant company at? They've been kind of foundering for a few years, and people are wondering, you know, is the new version of Windows going to be exciting? And then they do something like put out a new search engine like Bing, and, you know, it's this one project, Bing.com, that people have said maybe Microsoft has got something new going on. And it doesn't mean the whole company has turned direction, but it means that some teams are able to get free and do something so compelling that it changes the way you look at the organization. And I think the same thing is true at the executive branch, where, you know, there is obviously thousands and thousands of people and tons of resources that need to be, you know, directed and hopefully refined into these much more ambitious projects. But these few groups that have been able to really cut loose and do what they can do have reached an amazing potential in a very short period.
And you make a really interesting point within your piece about how, you know what, mistakes are going to happen. Mistakes will be made. And, you know, one of those mistakes might be trying to politicize the whole process. But mistakes will happen, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope what people can do, and I know this is, of course, everybody's greatest wish and biggest disappointment over the years, is see that this is infrastructure that is really there for us to use going forward, regardless of what party is in power, which administration is in place, that if we can make some systems that let people build and innovate on top of what the government is doing, there's no reason that flow of data that's coming out of the executive branch can't just as much potential as when we built something like, you know, the highway system, where, you know, it does is directed by the federal government, but it is something where all the innovation, all the opportunity that happens in the private sector, that happens in academia, all these things are built on top of that. And that seems like there's that potential for it to have that kind of impact.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about what happens going forward. But before you do that, one of the interesting parts about your post is that you say each of the sites you mentioned, whitehouse.gov, recovery.gov, and usaspending.gov and data.gov, each have very consistent branding elements. And they also have a real attention to design, which oftentimes people outside this world don't think of in terms of federal government websites.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that is the standard people are used to. They're used to going to Google or going to Facebook and seeing a well-designed, attractive site that they understand how to get around. And frankly, most of our government sites haven't met that standard in the past. And now they're that expectation. They can go to a site and say, oh, I understand this. These are all of a kind. Like, you can tell these are a family of sites that are related. That makes a big, big difference, because there's a couple things that happen when people come across new websites. Most of us don't go to new websites every day just clicking around. So you need to feel like you can trust it. You need to know this is something that is created by, you know, the government itself, that is a resource you can count on. And the visual design, the aesthetic design, I think goes a long way towards indicating these are reliable sites that you can figure out how to use and that aren't be too complicated.
Talk a little bit about what sort of, because you talk a little bit about what happens next and sort of as you go forward, because sometimes startups can get a little difficult as it moves from the startup phase to the actual running an organization phase. Talk about your thoughts about how does the government move forward with this sort of what it's generated.
Well, I see a couple big challenges that are going to pop up right away. And the first is, this is cultural change. And I mean, I think anytime there's a relatively new administration in the first 6 months, there's going to be a certain cultural change. But this is bigger than that. This is really about changing the way that we think of what even public data means or public information means. In the past, oh, this has to be public meant maybe it could be printed on some paper, filed in a box and stored away so that somebody could file a Freedom of Information Act to be able to see it. But this is a radical redefinition of what public means, which is actually accessible, actually browsable, something that I can, you know, be sitting there on my couch with my laptop and get to. That's a radically more open vision, and I think it really is exciting. I mean, I think that's the sort of thing that all of us who had hoped to see that we would be able to get some value out of this public data would happen over time. But it is something that people are not used to. It's a lot faster than maybe people are used to working on a time scale in a lot of these departments. Second part to that too is the people that are doing this work. You know, it is a new generation, and not, I don't necessarily mean about age, but in terms of mindset, this is a new generation of people working on these projects, and it's going to be a challenge to make them feel comfortable and like their talents are being recognized, and even to bring in new people. I see this already. People are coming from the startup world, from companies like Google and Facebook and from academia that otherwise probably never would have even thought about coming to D.C. and having that be part of their career.
And Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, often talks about government as a platform, and you're starting to see applications built on federal data, which we haven't really seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very easy to look at, you know, something like an iPhone and look at the applications, and they're talking to all of these, you know, private companies that make great applications. So maybe you've got your photos with Yahoo, and you've got your, you know, you're doing your search with Google and those sorts of things. But what's amazing is for the volume of data and the volume of information published out of the federal government, there's almost no applications that are relying on them as a first-class data source right now, or as a source of information, or even just augmenting what you're doing. You know, there's so many times when you think, maybe I'm going to move to a new neighborhood and I want to know what are the schools like or what is the, you know, real estate market like. And there's tons of government data available on this sort of thing, but there hasn't been any easy way to get to it. I think that's going to change. I think 6 months, 12 months out, you're going to be able to go on a BlackBerry, go on an iPhone, you know, just go on your laptop computer and a web browser and get access to that data in these really friendly ways. If it's not from the government first by itself, it'll happen from, you know, independent third parties in the private sector building on top of it. It'll be interesting to see how people's perception changes of what the government can do for them. I mean, I think there's been this remove, you know, arm's length. And, well, they do things that are important, we know that, but we never see it. And I think this will be a much more kind of a first-person experience of saying, this is something where I'm personally accessing what the government is doing for me, and that changes the way people are going to see what's possible.